Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spankies.
Spankies.
I like that.
This is episode number 9.
Wow, we are just getting through these fast now.
It's crazy. They send us to Lollapalooza, and we start cranking out episodes every single day. It's like built-in content out here.
Well, shout out to you if you're listening for the second time to our podcast now, because you listened to our one yesterday, and now you're like, wow, these guys aren't half bad.
I mean, they're fine. The Normani episode from yesterday, though, did break some records on the old Spanky's Corner of podcast.
I mean, that was really the Normani, like, episode, like, no disrespect to anybody else that was on it, but
everybody else was great. Just like how everybody's going to be great today.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this episode. I had a great talk with NF this morning. He is one of my favorite people to interview. Really dove deep into his new album, The Search.
Sorry, I didn't show up for that. I was like in the bathroom. Then I went to lunch.
Well, no, you didn't. Like, you weren't allowed. Like, you're not allowed within 200 feet of him.
I was just trying to paint a prettier picture than what was actually happening here. So you want to start with the NF?
Yeah, thing? Let's start with NF.
And then I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have 7 high quality interviews from Lollapalooza here today. A former American Idol runner up. We have a special guest from one of our favorite people on the planet.
Yeah.
His name rhymes with Max. No, that is his name. And that's it, right?
Yeah, it might be more than that. It's not like we're good at counting. So here you go.
Spanky's Corner.
A podcast! It's Julia hanging backstage Lollapalooza with NF. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. So congrats on all the success with Time and The Search. It's been really fun to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
How does it feel now that it's like out in the world?
Doesn't feel like it is for some weird reason. I think this is the first record where I really felt like that. I think every other record I've been like, oh, my album, it's out.
Yeah.
And this one, I don't know, it just feels like, doesn't feel real yet. Usually once I start touring or doing interviews like this, I'm like, oh, wow.
Now that, I'm talking
that,
about
that,
it.
Yeah, that thing that I worked on for like every day for the past whatever it was. 4 or 5 months or whatever. So
when did you start writing it?
I kind of start writing, well, after Perception, I toured so much. That was my first time like not having tons of time just because I was touring so much.
Because you did the Perception tour and then you went right with Logic, right?
I did the Perception tour and then I think I went to Europe, then I did the Logic tour, and then I did another US run after that. So I think we did like 140 dates or something. I could be wrong, but somewhere around there. And so writing's one of my favorite things to do, but I honestly didn't have a lot done. But I think I had a few things going, and then really I like dove into the record like January, but I just felt a lot of pressure because it was like, hey, I want to get the record done by this time so I could get it done this time. And most of my
January
other records,
of this year?
Yes.
There's 20 songs on it. That's a lot of work.
No, we had, I'm trying to remember which ones we kind of already had. We may have had some, but I definitely, most of the record was done those 3 months. But one of my best friends, he lives, you know, around where I live. And so we were just every day getting in, trying to work. But I did feel the most pressure I've ever felt on a record on this one.
So I was going to ask, like, how do you say done? Because I know you just write and you write. Like, was it because of time, like having to get it out?
Mostly for me, I know I'm done or I decide to be done when it's like I feel like I've checked off the boxes of like, I want this style of song or whatever. Because, you know, like if you listen to my records, there's like, it's all over the place. There's like a song that was very melodic and there's a chorus people could sing to. And then there's a song that's kind of weird and it's kind of like hip hop, but it's also like got big cinematic sounds in it. You know what I mean? So I just always want to check off certain boxes for my fans and for me personally of like, hey, this is the style I like, and I want to have this on there and this on there and this on there. So this one was just interesting. I kept making songs, but I was like, oh, I still haven't checked this box off, but I still like the song that I made. And so that's kind of how I think it ended up having a lot more songs on it.
Yeah, you said it was all over the place. I mean, sonically, yes, because you try and you do different things, which is great. But I think this album is so cohesive. I mean, the way you started it, you got the interlude right in the middle. And I think like the theme ties so much throughout.
Yeah.
When did you decide that the search was going to be kind of like the overhead for this? Like, do you pick like the theme you want to kind of go after first, or does it just happen in your writing?
I usually try to come up with like an idea for what I want the album to be. And this is actually something that's kind of cool and dope for me, is like it always ends up, or at least to this point, it always all kind of connects at the end. And I really think it does, because I'm just talking about my life. And so it's like, it just kind of happens because that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so I try to come up with like a title and like the idea of like, hey, where am I at in my life? What am I doing?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how like the search came about, is like, I think we're all, not to be corny, but on like a journey in life. And so, you know, it's kind of like where my journey is. And it's one of the struggles I had for this record was, after Perception, I was like, man, I want to make a record that's like so encouraging and like motivating for people. And I went through like the darkest time of my whole life.
Yeah.
So that was kind of like a conflict that I had in my head and stuff, because I was like, I feel like I'm making another sad record. When it's like, well, that's how you feel, you know? And so that was a struggle for me. But at the end, I think the product was exactly the end, you know, the end product I thought was exactly what it should have been.
I think it was encouraging, because you mentioned going to therapy in it, you know, and like that things, and you're not going to get there without, you know, talking about the stuff you went through first, which.
Yeah. No, I think the end product was good. I think just going into the record, I was like, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because my music's always been so personal. It just wasn't like a realistic thing, I realized. I was like, I'm not going to be able to write a song about this when I'm not there mentally or whatever.
Yeah.
And just like I said, I felt so much pressure from this record, just because my last record was like the first time I feel like, you know, millions and millions of people actually heard what I was doing.
Yeah.
So coming to this, I was like, oh man, it's a lot to, I don't know. I have this thing where I always try to be like, I think like the worst could happen. And I try to convince myself it probably will happen. And I try to tell myself, oh, if I convince myself of that, it won't hurt as bad if it does.
I do that too.
But it's not a realistic thing, but I still do it all the time. So that's something I'm trying to be. I'm not a very positive person, so I'm trying to figure out how to do that. You know?
Yeah, for sure. Is there anything that you've ever written and you're like, this is too personal to put on the album? Because, I mean, everything you say is just kind of out there and as is. Like, have you ever had to hold back?
Not very often, I don't feel like.
Yeah.
If there's something I don't want to say, I think I most of the time just don't say it.
You just don't write it.
Or the interesting thing is sometimes you'll write something and you'll think about it different when you get older. You know what I mean? Like, when I was 23 or 24 years old, like, I look at life so different. Like, when I think about my mom, I'm not saying I would have wrote the song different about my mom passing or whatever, but, like, I look at that situation different because I'm 28 years old now, and I don't just think about me. I think about, like, what did my mom go through growing up?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, all those kind of things. Because I look at my experiences growing up, how they've shaped me. And it's just, like, now I kind of look at people, maybe not in the moment as much, but I don't know if it's therapy or what, but I'm able to step back now more and be, like, I wonder what's happened to that person or whatever. Or, like, you know.
What?
There's usually, like, there's deeper rooted things for, like, everyone.
Definitely.
The things they do, you know.
Well, and I would say, because I'm also 28, like, this part of our life is by far the most changing, going through your 20s, because there's no way you could be the same person you were in your early
20s. The way I thought my early 20s is like not the same.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been a super closed-minded person, and I still am in a lot of areas, but I do think about things a little, like, broader now, where I'm like, I wonder about this, or what about that, or, you know what I mean?
That's good. Like, that's growth.
Yeah. Yeah.
What made you decide on like the art for the album with the balloons, and like where was that shot actually? Because the background of that, and I believe it's in, I forget which music video.
The Search. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. We shot that in Iceland. I actually had never been there, and I wanted to do something that was, I think every other project was kind of like a studio cover except for Mansion. But it still was like a lot of like, we built the sky and everything.
Yeah.
So a therapy session was in a studio with a desk and me sitting across from myself. And then Perception was me in a studio with a cell and me in it. So I was like, I wanted to do something that was kind of like bigger looking, you know? And so, yeah, so I was like, we shipped my cell. That's my actual cell in the background. And we shot the video there too, so the cover and the first single match, you know, they look the same.
Yeah, and I know, like, you think, like, every element through it has to mean something. Yeah. What does the shopping cart symbolize?
The shopping cart's just, like, the like, thing that's I'm pushing around to carry my burdens or whatever, you know? The black balloons are really, like I just said, they're, like, burdens. But not just that, just, like, fears and doubts or whatever. And it's just that idea of, like, these things that hover over us. You know, sometimes we have more, sometimes we have less. And it's just trying to figure out how to not allow those things to, like, control my everyday life. Because they definitely do.
Yeah.
But the struggle I'm at in life right now is, like, I feel like if I let those things go that I'll be, like, losing a part of me. Which sounds, like, terrible because a lot of times it could be, like, negative. People would define it as, like, a negative thing. But sometimes I look at my fears and my doubts and stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, but they help me maneuver this area. Or they help me, like, because I'm fearful, I'm more protective of myself, so I get hurt less. So I don't want to be less fearful. It's, like, a very twisted thing. And so that's kind of, like, that's all part of the story. You know?
Are you ever fearful that, like, you won't be able to create as much if that happens, too? Because, like, I mean, it's just so genius and relatable and well-written and, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's all based off of what you went through.
I think, like I said in my song Change, actually, I am addicted to, like, pain. Like, I'm addicted to this way of thinking because since I was a kid, I think I've, like, trained my mind to be like, hey, be careful of this because this happened at one point, or be careful of this.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, like, every once in a while, I'll think about that, but not that often, honestly. Like, I do think about my work ethic, I think, changing, where I get concerned where I'm like, man, if I'm not, like, fearful about losing my career, am I going to work as hard? If I'm not, like, worried about people screwing me over, am I going to, like, get screwed over? Am I a weaker person if I don't stick up for myself and freak out on someone? Like, that's a big thing I learned about myself, is when I get embarrassed, I snap on people.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been, like, a pretty angry, like, person. Like, if you say something to me I don't like, I'll just say whatever to you. But that was, like, one thing I realized about myself. Not always. Not always because I'm embarrassed. Sometimes I just don't like you or I don't like what you said. But I did realize that about myself, where it's, like, usually that's, like, getting to the root of things, where you're like, man, if you're an angry person, like, what makes you angry or why are you getting angry? And that's one thing I figured out about me. It's like, oh, when I'm embarrassed, I respond with anger so I can cover up the fact that I'm embarrassed, because feeling embarrassed feels more vulnerable than, like, being angry. So that's just, like, one thing that I've learned.
That's really smart of you, though, to connect the two feelings and realize where that comes from. Like, that's very, like, emotionally intelligent.
Sometimes it's annoying, though, because I feel like I'm finding out all this stuff about myself.
And you're always evaluating it.
Yeah, but I also still don't know how to, like, fix it, because my brain's just reacting in that moment sometimes. Like, it's not like something, I get embarrassed by something and then all of a sudden I'm like, here, let me think about this for a second. It's usually like an instant, my body and my mind reacts, I gotta defend myself.
Yeah.
And so then after I think about it, I'm like, oh, maybe I did this. But in the moment, I struggle to, like,
I mean, that's just something you work through, which I'm sure you're doing.
Yeah.
So you mentioned The Change. I love that song. I love the production on it.
Thank
you. Everything about it. When do you bring the production in when you're writing? Is it, like, do you kind of hear it as you're going, or is it an after thing, or do they send you, like, a beat first?
I go in with my friend Tommy Prophet. He actually produces a lot of my stuff. And I go in, and we usually make the beats together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll take the beats home and write them, or write them in the studio. And that's how I prefer to do it, usually. Because beats always kind of lead my mind to, like, a place.
Yeah.
The moment I hear it, I'll be like, oh, this makes me feel this way, or think about this, and then start writing.
Yeah. You know?
Some beats are harder, where, like, I Miss the Days, that song with the choir and everything. That song took me a long time to write because I just could not figure out what I wanted to say and stuff like that. So it was like, some songs are quicker, some songs. Like, The Search, that's one of my favorite songs I've ever written. but it took me a long time.
How do you determine when, like, the flow in it, like when you want to pick it up, or like, I mean, because you do, like we said, just such different variations in each song. Like, how do you decide what goes where?
Like, you mean in one song, or you mean the whole record, how the record flows?
Well, I was gonna say one song, but both, to be honest.
I can just tell when, like, something's going on too long.
Okay,
like,
and you should just pick it up.
Or I'll be like, oh, this doesn't feel right. The beat's not building quick enough. Or I need to be rapping different here because it sounds like I did the same thing for too long. Or I'm usually pretty good at, like, feeling that out. But as far as the records, I'm super... We live in, like, a world now where I feel like records are kind of becoming, like, a thing of the past where it's, like, more about singles. Like,
yeah.
People are putting out records, but it's more like... Well, I just don't live there. I'm like, I love making albums. And I like the album cover and the music videos and that, like, everything to, like, flow as much as possible.
But that's what your fans are there for. And I liked that in the one song you mentioned, you know, that they're pressing you to post on social media more, and you know what I mean, and you're trying to resist that. And I think it's great that, I mean, you do keep off as much as you can, and you do your own thing, and people are still there for you, and you're still seeing the success that you are.
Yeah. No, and Leave Me Alone, when I kind of talk about that, it's like, the things that bother me about this industry, I also like sometimes, because I like that not everyone knows who I am, but kind of a lot of people do know who I am, or that I can go to a city and sell out a show, but I could also grab a burger down the street and, like, no one in there would even know who I was, or, like, you know. Like, I like that, so that's definitely a fear of mine, of, like, losing that. And that's why I kind of talk about fame on this record a little bit, about feeling like this fame character, whatever you want to call it, is, like, reaching towards me, like, hey, come on, let's do this, and I'm kind of like, I don't know.
I think it was so cool. Like, it kind of felt like a bridge from Perception, and then you did No Name for the last tour.
Yep.
And that No Name kind of felt like a bridge to this album, because it, like, connected you talking about all the success from Let You Down going into that.
Yeah.
Are you going to...
Why I came out after that, and then we put that on the record. So, yeah, it all connects. Sometimes I look back after, and I'm like, man, it's crazy how it actually all connected. But like I was saying earlier, it's like, I think... Because I am writing about my feelings and things, it's like,
how can I
that's
not?
What's happening, so it's kind of like, you know.
What do you have planned for tour? I mean, I know you're a production guy, and you like putting on details and everything. Like, last tour, you had the cage. What are we talking about?
I'm not sure yet, but if I did know, I probably wouldn't tell you, because...
That's fair.
I'm just being honest.
I know, I get it.
I'm not sure. I just want to put on a good show for my fans and put on the best show I can. And I got, like, a really good team of people, so
we'll
just see what we can come up with.
Okay, one last question, because they're asking me to wrap up, but you say ruminating. Was that on purpose to put your name in it?
No. Ruminating, you can Google what ruminating means.
I know
means.
What it means,
oh, okay.
But I heard it, and you're so clever in some of your stuff. Like, in that one video when you wrote the date of time coming out, I was like, I don't know, he might be kind of throwing us a pun there.
Ruminating is exactly what it is. It's just the looping of, like,
your name's in it.
Yeah.
Well, always a pleasure to talk to
you.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the interview.
For sure. Spanky's Corner.
A podcast!
Hi!
Hi, how's it going?
Hello.
96th thing. I don't know what we call it.
We're at Lollapalooza, that's where we're at.
Yeah, at that thing.
Yeah, that thing.
What time do you go on today?
5:40.
All right.
Yeah, so at the Be My Stage.
You're getting all of the promo stuff out of the way early.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Do you like that better to do it early or after? What's your
preference? I feel like it's more fun to do it before, because then after I can just, like, run around the festival and see all my favorite bands, right?
Oh, really? Who are you going to go watch?
Well, Tame Impala is, like, my all-time favorite band, so I'm very excited to go see that. It was hard to choose between Childish Gambino and Tame Impala, because they're at the same time.
It's literally Sophie's choice.
So I might try to see half. I don't know. Half and half of each. I don't know.
Stage? Because are they on the opposite stage from one another right over here, or is Tame Impala on the Bud Light?
I've not done my research.
Neither have I. That's
no
why
clue.
I'm asking the question. None of us clearly have whatsoever.
We'll figure it out when this
they're on
comes.
Two separate stages.
Yeah.
I can tell you that.
We saw one of your people yesterday.
Who?
Fitz from Fitz and the Tantrums.
Hell yeah, he's dope. He's the best.
He says hello.
Yes.
He kept that seat warm for you, and he also mentioned that you guys were doing, like, a show or two together coming up?
Yeah, it's dope. So Fitz and the Tantrums are on tour with Young the Giant right now, and it just so happened that they needed an opener for the Phoenix show, which is my hometown. So it worked out, like, perfectly. Yeah, I'm stoked. It's next weekend.
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you grow up going to any music festivals at all? Like, are you a music festival person?
I haven't been to like Coachella yet, which is so weird. And this is my first time being at Lolla. But growing up in Phoenix, they had this thing called McDowell Mountain Music Festival that was really fun. And I got to play that for a couple of years. And like the Shins headlined and like Weezer. Like it was great. And, yeah. and Beck and Spoon. Like it was dope. So that was really like my only festival experience until now. Yeah. Oh,
that's cool. Crazy. Do you really want to go to Coachella?
I want to go. But I'm also kind of scared. It seems like a very Instagram thing.
Right, that's exactly, because I'm the same way. That's why I asked it like that.
Right, I know. And I'm like, I don't know if I'll like be the coolest looking person just like posing in front of everything. Everyone else there is so hot. And then yeah. I'd roll in and not know what to do with myself.
Look at your outfit. Your outfit looks great.
Come on, I got the neon.
Killer.
It's definitely the festival vibe.
Yeah.
You want to play a quick game?
What?
You want to play a quick game?
Let's do it. What's in here?
Trash talk.
Oh, good.
You get it?
What?
You get it? It's in a trash can.
I love it.
Yeah.
It all makes you sense. Do is just pick a question out and answer.
All right. I thought we were going to be trash talking people. That's not what it is.
Oh, it might lead into that.
It's disappointing. Oh, okay. Who would you rather fight, Justin Bieber or Tom Cruise? Well, Tom Cruise, like, doesn't he do his own stunts?
He does. He did in the Mission Impossible.
And he broke a leg or something, right?
I think he's broken many.
So he's
I would fight him. Yeah, I would fight him then because he has a broken leg.
Just pick on the man with one leg.
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to drink some milk.
Get those bones strong.
Justin Bieber is young and fit, but Tom Cruise is what? He's got to be pushing like 60 now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
no, really?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah, he's
killing
there.
It. He's
well, they
it.
Challenged each other to a fight a few weeks ago. Did you see that? Or Justin Bieber did or something?
Seriously? Justin yeah. wanted to fight him really bad, and he kept like tweeting him. And then he was like, oh, I'm just kidding, like when he started to take it seriously.
Because he knew he'd get his ass kicked, yeah.
Exactly. We'll do one more. We'll all do right. the last one because it's
your favorite thing about grandmas. I love that. I have three and they are all so dope. I think my favorite thing is that they always have all the like good food at their house. I know that's so basic.
It's not basic.
But
that's
they always have the good food. And then one of my grandmas, like my Nana actually, would always like slip me like little drinks of things that like wine at Christmas. And I was like, oh, she's so cool. I think that was my favorite thing about my grandma.
Yeah.
How old were you when she was slipping you that wine?
I'm not gonna call her out like that. You know, this is last year, right?
But she was a cool grandma, so. Right?
Gotta have that.
I'm a cool grandma, right?
Yeah.
Your music. So where can we find your music and the whole deal? So anybody discovering you for the very first time, let's say, where can we find your music? Is anywhere you get your music?
Yeah, or if you just look up Upsal on Spotify, Apple Music, all the things, it's there. Or my website, upsal.com, or go follow me on Instagram. It's everywhere.
UPSAHL.
Yes.
I can spell.
I know, killing it. Some people can't spell it.
I don't know what time anybody's playing around here, but I know I can spell everybody's name, and that's half the battle.
Well, there's no reward for a spelling bee.
That's true. That's true. Were you a good speller growing up?
I think, one time I was in a spelling bee, actually, and there was this joke that was, I'm not even going to tell a story, but I got to the very last round, and because of a joke that was, like, drilled into my head, I added an S to the end of a word and, like, lost the spelling bee and, like, cried myself to sleep. It was so sad.
Do you remember?
That's not even fair. You pluralized it.
Yeah.
I know. It was really sad.
Do you remember what word?
It was machines. Yeah. And there was some joke. I don't even know what it was. The word was machine. I was like four, obviously, because like it's a very small word. And like, I don't remember the joke, but I spelt it and I added an S just like by instinct. And I literally was so sad. It was very depressing.
You're like, I'm just going to go music with music from here on out.
Yeah, I can't spell it. I'm sticking with music. Exactly.
Well, the Upsal Music Machine will be happening today. Which stage? You're on the BMI stage.
The BMI stage, yeah.
Ah.
540. Killed it.
Are you hanging out at all through the weekend?
Yeah, I'm here all day tomorrow, too, just catching a bunch of acts and stuff. So I'll be here.
Who are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Well, 21 Pilots is dope. Who else is playing tomorrow? I'm just going to play it by ear and just run around.
Lil Wayne.
I thought he was tonight.
Gary Clark Jr. is tomorrow.
I need to see that.
They're back to back to back on that stage right there.
Oh, good.
T-Mobile stage. Yeah.
So I can just
set up camp.
Yeah, exactly. I'm stoked. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much. Seriously.
Appreciate taking some time.
Thanks, guys.
Spanky's Corner.
A podcast.
Sigrid.
Hey.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
I saw you a second ago. You were doing something with like MTV or something?
Yeah, I was. I'm running around the press area now.
Yeah?
Doing it all. Yeah.
What did you say to those TV people?
What did I say?
Yeah.
I didn't say any... I don't think I said anything controversial. I talked about my festival things I usually do. Yeah.
Did they ask you any good questions or...
They asked me about vocal warm-ups.
Oh.
and necessities at a festival, so I gave them some tips.
What was your tips? We're just going to piggyback off their interview.
Nice one. You're going to rip off all their questions. I like that. Yeah. Nice one.
Where are you from originally? Norway?
I'm from Norway, yeah. I still live there. I'm from a part like the West Coast, so it's a place called Ålesund. It's really small, like shipping town, fish, shipping, coasts, boats. But I live in the capital now, Oslo.
I've only been to Norway once.
Oh.
I'm not going to make this about me, but the reason why I bring it up is because it is the most expensive effing place I've ever been to
in my life. I know.
Girl, it costs $27 to have a beer.
I know. It's like a month's salary if you want to go out. That's why people don't really go to restaurants or bars in Norway. We just buy a lot of alcohol and we bring it home. So bad. That's what we do.
But I guess when you come here, though, for you, it's like it's a dream. Everything's off.
It's great. I've been eating loads of pizza here. Yeah.
It is a great city for the pizza.
It is the pizza place.
Are you a thin crust, a regular, or like a deep dish kind of girl?
I got this question 5 minutes ago. And I feel like this is like the question of the day. But
Did MTV ask you that?
Yeah, I love thin crust.
Thin crust is good.
Okay, good. Yeah, because the deep dish is the Chicago thing, isn't
it? Yeah. But the thin crust here, honestly, don't tell anybody, is just as good, if not better, than the deep dish.
And I like deep dish, but I feel like I have not eaten for hours. It's like a lasagna.
Exactly.
We've asked all the basic questions.
It's not a snack.
Anything else MTV covered that we didn't? What time do you go on?
Four, if I remember correctly.
So coming up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So how long do you play?
I play for an hour.
Yeah.
And we did an after show yesterday at Talia Hall, which was really fun.
That's a great venue. An after show.
Yeah, it was lovely. I've heard it's like, is it pretty new, but like in a very old venue.
You just nailed it. Yeah,
beautiful, so nice crowd, incredible. Actually, one of my favorite shows.
Wow, really,
really good crowd. They were like mega into it and like singing every lyric.
So how do the crowds differ, do you feel like, than performing like back home where you're from to like in the US?
I feel like US people give a lot of themselves, which I really love. I think, okay, I love Norway,
right,
but Norwegians tend to be a bit like
reserved.
Yeah, a bit reserved. And like if you give Norwegians enough alcohol, they'll open up at a show. But like
it's so expensive they can't drink.
It's so expensive. No, but it's easier to get American crowds going, I think, because I feel like people are very open here, which I love. So it just gives me a lot of energy, and again that feeds off back again, because it's a communication thing. It's not, you know, we feed off each other's energy. So I love playing here.
And this is your first Lala, right?
First Lala, first time in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
And then we're going on our first North American tour this fall, which I'm really excited
about.
I
like how you switch from American to North American. There must be some Canadian dates in there or something.
Yes.
Huh?
Yeah, all right, that's yeah.
Didn't you just come off tour? Weren't you on tour in Europe?
With Maroon 5, right?
Yes. Basically all the time on tour. I have good breaks in between, but I was on tour with Maroon 5 in Europe, and then I was with George Ezra in the UK, and then we're doing festivals.
Those are some big names.
Yeah, it's really fun, and we're doing so many festivals all over Europe, and then these festivals here. Yeah.
How often do you see Adam Levine backstage at your shows? And follow-up question before you answer the first question is, how often is he just walking around shirtless backstage?
I knew you were going to ask that.
I never saw him shirtless backstage. I did not.
Oh.
But nice band. Yeah.
Really, we've never seen him with a shirt on stage.
No.
So.
Well, yeah, definitely came off.
Where can we find your music?
Where can you find my music?
Yeah, because you're kind of in between things right now, right? So you had...
I had an album.
Touring.
Yeah.
And
yeah. So I released my album in March, I think, and then it's just been like going and going. So it's still available everywhere. And currently, it's just touring off the back of the album. And I'll be back with new music, obviously. I don't have any dates for it yet. I'm, you know, working on it and taking my time. But one thing at a time, that's my go-to thing now.
Do you work on it while you tour?
I always write. Okay. I always write down ideas. I have a thing on my iPhone and a note in the note app, and I just like blah, blah, all the time, wherever I am, and write down melodies and everything. But like to fully like finish a song, I need to be in a studio. I need to look at it as like going to work. It's like my office in a way.
Yeah.
And I can't do that on tour. I know a lot of artists do that, but for me, I need to be like focused on like I'm doing this now. So yeah, I'll go back to the studio. Yeah.
Where's the most random place you got an idea for a song that you're like, oh, I gotta write this down?
It has happened at parties, which is a bit annoying, because
like,
then I'll be the annoying one like, oh, sorry, just gotta go to the bathroom, and then I'm in the bathroom just
like, you suck, I gotta go write about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, thank you.
So hopefully this matches up with how great the energy was last night.
Yes.
I think it will.
I'm excited to see it. I think it'll be good.
All the artists always say that the energy at Lala is like...
It's a really nice festival. So far, so good.
Yeah.
And enjoy the 80-degree weather.
It's warm.
Or what in your world, it's what, 25 degrees? Did I get it?
It's actually really warm in Norway, too. It's actually warmer than it is here now.
Well, 25 Celsius. I was doing the conversion for you.
Mm.
Did I get it close?
It's like over 30 Celsius now.
No, I did not get it close. So. I did my best, and that's all that matters.
It was
pretty
good.
Thank you for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it.
Spanky's Corner.
A podcast!
Bow wow wow yippee yo yippee. What's the song? I can't remember that song.
Bow wow wow yippee yo yippee yay.
That's all I remember.
Yeah. This was Snoop Dogg.
Is a Snoop.
Was that his big Snoop. Song, though, or did he have one on his own?
I think he had something else that was
We're
bigger,
good?
But
we'll have to look this up.
I was confused.
Everybody sounds good.
Romeo? Recording.
Oh, yeah. Little Romeo had a real...
That's right.
Oh, wait, hold on.
It's like strike Keanu, one.
From Keanu, with Keanu Reeves, the one
yes.
Hardball?
Yes.
Was he in? He
classic.
Wasn't in
that. Hey, wait, wait.
G-Baby.
Hey,
our manager's name is G, so we call him G-Baby all the time.
I know, his name is G.
Well, hopefully
we can't talk about G Baby right now.
You know the beautiful thing is they started recording halfway through a conversation about Little Romeo.
Oh, really? Nice. Oh, this is really great A content.
What's that movie? Talking
Hardball.
About?
Hardball.
Hardball.
Yeah, Hardball. Yeah.
And that was the name of the song.
Oh. You guys are Shade, by the way.
Yes, we are Shade.
But back to Hardball.
You guys should do a cover.
Totally. You guys have been the one act I've caught any amount of time watching at all in the last day and a half.
Oh, wow.
A little bit earlier today. And
cool.
Amazing.
Oh, thanks, man.
So we're getting the ass-kissing portion of this interview out of the way.
Not done. Congrats on all your success. And honestly, getting in an Apple commercial, I always say it, I feel like it's the HBO of music. Like,
oh,
you've made it. Like, you've put that on a shelf.
We definitely would agree.
Certainly helped.
Dream.
Yeah.
Where were you, like, have you seen it actually live on TV? Because it came out, December, January, or somewhere, like, at the beginning of the year, right?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever seen it live on TV when you've just been sitting around the house?
We don't have a TV.
Yeah.
So, I saw it a couple times on Hulu when I was watching it on my computer. And then we
saw it at your grandma's house, with your grandma.
Oh, yeah. We saw it with my grandma.
That was fun.
See?
That was a moment.
Was grandma proud?
Grandma is so proud. But it's funny. It's just like the radio. Every time we get in the car, we would like immediately turn on all the channels and try to see if we can hear trampoline. I've heard it.
We caught it. We've caught it a couple times.
Luckily,
the song's
funny.
It's gotten more plays than we've heard it recently.
Well, I tell you what, if you're out here and you turn on our station, you'll hear it. We play it all the time.
Awesome. Thank you.
In fact, not even lying, we just played it 5 minutes ago.
Oh,
wow. Really?
Yeah.
Right at 2:30. So
incredible. That's
no
awesome.
Coincidence whatsoever.
So I know you two, like, obviously met in the womb. How did you all come together as a band?
Yes.
We actually, these guys were playing at the 9:30 Club and in D.C., and I ended up at that show.
Yeah, we were all in high school.
We were all in high school.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
Just kind of became best friends after that. And
Chelsea needed a driver. That's really what it came down to.
I didn't have my license, and they drove. Like a huge Crown Vic with a bucket seat in the front, so all three of us were sitting in the front.
It's like, yeah, the old cop cars.
The old
right?
cop car, yeah, that's what we drove. Chelsea always
sat
right in the middle.
So they drove me around for years. And then we became friends.
Yeah, we were like, we'll drive you around, but you have to like sing in our band. No, I was kidding.
9:30 Club, that's like the big famous one, right? Is that the one that, do you ever see that Sonic Highways thing that Dave Grohl did with Foo Fighters on HBO? It was out a couple years ago, but
yeah,
I think
I
he did a
about.
Show there, if
I'm
I remember
sure
right. Sounds familiar.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it has that reputation of being like the best venue in the country, and it really is like fantastic place. He's from Northern Virginia, too.
Yeah.
We live in Maryland, all of us now, but he actually got in a car crash with my uncle.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Dave Grohl like hit my uncle in a car. I don't think there was any drunk, alcohol involved. But yeah, it was like this was when Dave Grohl was like Nirvana was just getting going, and yeah, he hit my uncle's car. But my uncle was a fan, so I don't even think he pressed charges. So
well, wait, actually, just to say one more thing, Dave Grohl showed up in court with the mohawk.
Yes, that
like
is true.
Like a dyed some crazy color mohawk, apparently. So.
So when you say hit him with a car, like they were in two different vehicles.
They were in two different vehicles.
Okay, not him, the person.
No. They were in two different vehicles, and Dave Grohl just like, I don't know.
So then your uncle gets out of his car, which is now all beat up, and goes, "Oh my God, you're Dave Grohl."
I'm pretty sure that is how it went.
It's crazy.
It's a true story. My uncle doesn't. He's not a bull. Like, he's pretty straightforward.
That's really funny.
That is incredible. Sorry, I would love to get him.
Drop the mic. This conversation's over. No, yeah, yeah. So Yeah.
So what's next for you guys? You guys are doing the whole circuit thing now. I mean, trampoline's becoming, it's gone from like the, you know, the Apple commercial to bubbling up on the underground, and now it's full on mainstream. Yeah. I heard everybody singing it over there when I was over there earlier.
Wow.
So what's next?
Well,
we're going to Japan in a week and a half. For 2 weeks, we're playing Summer Sonic, which we're super excited about, and working on a full-length album now. So kind of, you know, finishing up these festivals and then doing that, and then we've got a headlining tour in the fall, which we're really excited about. So
we're just we're trying to write more jams. You know, that's the whole goal.
Do you have an idea of when the album's going to be out?
We're really trying to get it ready for the fall. So that's the goal right now, for okay. sure.
With how long have you been with your record label right now?
Our record label, Photo Finish, we've been with them from the very beginning. So
Yeah. They're
like, we're all in with them. They're great. Our manager, G, is like one of our best friends, and he works at the label too. So we're just super lucky to have like the most supportive label. And they've just, you know, it feels like a huge, trampoline feels like a huge win because we've just been with them from the very beginning. So,
because that was going to be my question. Like when you say you're not really quite sure when the album's coming out and whatever else, you have full support then from your record label to say,
yeah,
just go away, do
oh, yeah,
what you need to do.
Uh-huh.
And when it's
totally
ready, let us know.
Totally.
Yeah.
Definitely. And also, with the success of this song, we've been, you know, traveling so much, you know, hanging out with people like you guys, awesome radio stations. So it's been hard to, I mean, it's just been hard to find time, honestly, to work. But they're super supportive, and we've been writing every chance we can, and we're really excited to share new music.
How do you write on the road?
We have, we got like a little acoustic guitar that we bring with us, and we'll try to kind of strum some stuff in the van. We also, Max and I produce everything in the van, pretty much. So we'll produce. We'll have our laptops in the car and try to come up with some ideas and stuff like that too, yeah.
Does the success of trampoline kind of make it a little bit like more stressful because you feel like you have to live up to that?
I would say in some ways yes, but because the song is kind of left to center and it was definitely a little weirder for our, you know, our sound, I guess. It's kind of given us more confidence to like explore kind of more non-traditional pop, you know,
yeah,
songs
and
structures.
We do have pressure, but it's, you know, mostly us putting pressure on ourselves to, you know, just continue to grow and evolve and, you know, write songs that we love. And so, yeah.
Do you remember the first time you're on stage and somebody, you looked out on the crowd and you noticed the crowd singing your lyrics back or singing along with you? Do you remember the first time that happened?
I would say our last headlining tour, which was in the winter, winter, late fall, was when we had actually, you know, gotten on stage. We were the headliners. People were actually there for us. You know, we're not just openers. And really noticed people, way more people singing than generally at, you know, at other shows. And super hyped. And not just singing trampoline, singing all of our songs. So it's really, really cool.
So what's that going to be like then when you go to Japan?
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Because I've heard they're so polite that they'll clap for 1 second and then they'll just all stop.
I heard a story a long time ago. We had a while back. It was Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park, and I asked him kind of the same question, and it was specifically about Japan, and he said exactly what you just said.
Ah.
They will sit there and they will watch.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you're done, then they will applaud. But until then, it is full focus on you guys.
I love that.
I think
yeah,
that's
great.
Cool. I mean, I think it's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
probably
really...
don't like have a lot of phones out, like probably in the moment. It's
yeah.
Good.
What's that like?
Have you guys seen anything wild happening in the crowd at all, like doing festivals during your set?
I feel like there was a couple festivals ago, there was like a situation where a guy was like trying to climb over the security rail and security guard was like,
that.
No! So funny things like that. Someone's passed out before at our shows from heat, I think.
So last night after the show, this is a little different, but you played a show with Bishop Briggs, and after the show, Chelsea got in an Uber to go to the hotel. And
this was insane. Yeah. I left this is a totally different thing, but I'll just tell you anyways. I left right after the set because I had to go
snuck her out the back door.
And it was at midnight or whatever. Got to the hotel and this guy had followed the Uber in a motorcycle and had like cornered me in the hotel with like a stack of posters and stuff for me to sign and was like, yeah, I just like, I saw you, I just got on my motorcycle and followed the Uber.
I know, that was
creepy.
On, I mean, that's the first time that's ever happened.
It was so weird.
So we've had, now
so
we're
that
like.
That was like the strangest thing.
Did you sit there and sign them for him?
I did because I'm really bad at being like,
yeah,
confrontation
I get it.
And meet.
Especially if it was just you. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry
sure.
that happened.
Yeah. Life of a rock star, you guys. Do you want to play a quick game before we set you go?
Let's do it.
This is the B96 Trash Talk. It's bucket. Well, it's a trash can of just random questions. Okay. If you guys like to, these are listener submitted, by the way.
Oh wow!
So we went on the Twitter, which is an amazing place. Nobody can hear me roll my eyes, but you can grab a question out of there. They're all listener submitted. They're all ridiculous questions, and we proofread most of them.
Okay.
So feel free to dive right in. We'll just grab one, and you guys can all answer the question.
If you don't like it, though, you can trade it.
Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay. Who's going first?
I can go
first.
Go
ahead.
Spence, you want to go?
I'll go first. We'll go in this order. Have you ever eaten soup with a fork just to try? I would say that the only time I've eaten soup with the fork is because I didn't have any spoons at the moment. And I was like, you know what? I got to just go with the fork. But I wouldn't say it was by choice.
But you gave it a go.
I gave it a go. Yeah. I've given it a go. You know, I can't remember. I just vaguely remember trying to do the fork thing. And it wasn't fun. Definitely, there's a reason why the spoon works better. Yeah.
The soup experience, Chelsea.
Wow.
What is your favorite type of whale? Is a beluga whale a thing?
Yes.
I would say beluga because that just sounds cool. Beluga.
You're the first one to say beluga to that, and I was hoping.
Okay, we've got a really interesting one here. This person is maybe deranged, but. We've got F, marry, or kill. I'm guessing F stands for... Mashed potato, baked potato, french fries. I'm going to say F, the mashed potato. Sorry, I just have to say that. I feel like that would probably...
I would marry the mashed potato. The mashed potato is like kind of a funny, like quirky, tasty, buttery thing. But
okay, this is my question here. Okay, so I would F the mashed potato. I would definitely marry the... I would marry the baked potato... I don't know. It just feels more wholesome, and I would kill French fry. I don't know.
Okay.
Wow, bold take on the French fries there.
Okay.
There is one question I was hoping you were going to draw it, Chelsea. In there, there is one question that's what's the best thing about grandmas? And since we were talking about your grandma
about
earlier,
grandmas.
Oh my gosh, what's
I'll
the
have
best
you
thing,
answer that.
What's the best thing about grandma? Well, my grandma has a 6-pack.
What?
She is the most fit lady I've ever seen. So,
How many sit-ups does she do every
She month? Does like 100 sit-ups a day and walks like 3 miles. She's amazing. So I am always envious of her 6-pack. So that's what I would say.
You guys are the best. Thanks for playing along. Continued success. And I'm so bad at wrapping these up, but I guess we're done.
Thanks,
Shane. I guess so. I think we're going to go watch Hardball, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, guys. Spanky's Corner.
Max, you beauty. Look at you.
Gorgeous. Looking so good. So fresh.
Well, thanks for allowing me to hop in your DM and invite you to come over.
Well, I love that we see. Now we're finally in Chicago. I feel like I've seen you in so many different cities
just
around
Detroit.
Our great. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just Detroit?
Yeah. But you know what made me laugh was when I went to message you, I looked at our last message and it was me asking you to try to bite your nose and you sent me a video.
Did I?
It's you going.
Wow. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bite my nose.
No, it's very impossible.
Are you a big basketball fan or is that just
a
shirt?
No, yeah, I really am. Yeah, okay. I got a shirt that says I love this game. It's
that
like
would
the
be an absolute lie if you didn't.
I love it too much too. I'm a Knicks fan and it hurts my soul
every
day. Oh my
god, dude, how you doing?
It's just
bless
a painful.
Heart. Yeah.
It's okay. You get through it.
You know, we're Bulls fans here, so it's a little bit of a rough go too. Not as bad as the Knicks, but
yeah. You got the history though. At least you got that Michael Jordan life. Are you a Bulls fan now too?
I don't sports.
That's fine. Don't sports. You don't need to. Stay music.
I mean, I'm not going to pretend.
You don't need to. Stay fashion. Stay
then
color.
Somebody will throw me a fact and I'll be like,
Do you know who Michael Jordan is?
Yes.
Jordan or LeBron? What do you think, Julie?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, she's wearing Jordans. Okay, absolutely.
You have such little itty-bitty feet.
I know,
Jordans.
I do.
They're great.
Where's the missus?
Missus is hanging with the dog and her best friend who actually just got engaged here in Chicago. So they're hanging out.
Cool.
Nice.
Keeping it cute. You know, I met Emily. I proposed to Emily with Lights Down Low here in Chicago.
Yeah.
I did.
That's right.
That's the story.
And you lived here for a long period of
time. I did. I lived here for like a year.
I was so excited to see your news last night, Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, yeah. Super, I know. We just found out about it, which is it's kind of last minute things are sometimes the best because you're like, oh, snap, we all got to bring our A game and do the whole thing.
Well, it seems like you guys just started like really picking up with the shows. Like, I'm so rooting for you and Quinn 92's
career. Oh, thank you.
And like, so when I saw him post it first, I commented, I'm like, I'm so proud.
Thank you, baby. Yeah, it's been an awesome ride with the song, and having Quinn on Love Me Less has been, same year we're both married boys. It's nice to like be in the game together and just fight for it.
When are you doing that?
We're doing it on Tuesday. Jimmy Kimmel Tuesday. I just got the design.
As in the next Tuesday.
As in like this, like in like 5 days.
So we're recording this Friday. This is going to be put out on Friday. So as in like the next coming Tuesday.
Literally, it will be this Tuesday on your TVs with a wild world that we are creating as I speak on my phone with the whole thing. Yeah, man. I mean, I've been going back and forth with the original keyboard player, Roger, who wrote the song with us. He also did Sicko Mode, Broccoli. Like, he's these iconic keys parts. He'll be playing live with us for the first time, which is cool. And he's sending me voice memos of the intro for the song. And I'm like going, we're like rehearsing from a distance. And then Monday, we'll all come together.
Have you done Kimmel before?
No, it's my first time. I'm super excited.
Have you ever met him?
No, I haven't. I'm excited.
Yeah. I've heard he's a nice guy.
What did you just do? Is it Regis and Kelly?
Yeah, we just did Kelly and Ryan, which was awesome.
What century are you living
TBT?
In?
Regis is there in spirit. Yeah, we just did Kelly and Ryan, which is fun. And
got one of them right.
Regis hasn't been on the show in like 7
okay,
years.
Stop it. His spirit was there.
You're going to do Johnny Carson this week, too?
Yeah, Johnny Carson's this week.
Letterman,
man.
Leno.
We're doing a Ed Sullivan show in a couple weeks. It's going to be super tight.
Fred Penner.
Yeah. It's going
to
be fire.
You come to Lala. We ran into you last year. Like, you just come out and hang out and just do, because you were jumping on some stage on the stage with some people.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm gonna be with my boy Weathen today and Matoma. I'm popping out in their sets.
I love those two.
They're the best. They're actually at the same time, so I will have to jet from one performance to the other very quickly, and we'll see how that works out. We'll know.
After. Well, and you blend right in, so you'll be able to roll through the crowd without a problem.
There you go, right? With my bright yellow. I'm hyped. I have a show on Sunday anyway here in Chicago, which worked out perfectly, and I was like, oh, I'll just hang at Lala, which any excuse to hang at Lala when I'm not playing properly is the best.
Where's the show in Chicago?
We're doing a really tiny intimate show at Shuba's, and
that's a great venue.
Oh, it's so cool, man. I love it. It was actually one of the first spots I played here, and it sold out in like a couple seconds this time, which is so sick. So
sold
here we go.
I
love my Chicago people, man. They go hard. This is honestly probably one of my favorite cities to play in the world. It's like so much love in Chicago. So it's cute.
And it feels like home probably, you know, with the wife going to college here and whatever else. Does she pick and choose where she goes with you now?
Yeah.
As far as like on tour?
Pretty much, yeah. She chooses the places she's into, and then the other places she's like, I'm going to just stay home and watch some movies and, you know, enjoy some legal marijuana. So I'm like, all right, cool.
See, that's the benefit of having a, a famous pop star husband. You know, you get to pick and choose where you want to go and then stay home at home for the rest of them and watch Friends or whatever.
There you
know?
You go. Yeah. She's doing it. She's killing it. She's doing like she's really on her spiritual kick, and she's been like doing tarot readings for everyone, and there's some cool stuff in the works there. Some fun things.
Has she done one on you?
Funny enough, she's done them a few times on me, but I'm being the supportive husband. I don't know if I truly am as into it as I should be. You know, are you guys into that stuff?
No.
Not really,
stuff?
No.
But I like that it gives a sense of positivity and purpose, and like if you're looking for answers, it's a nice thing, you know? So we'll see. It's something really cool that I'm proud that she's making a thing of.
But you think it's kind of like bullshit?
No, I wouldn't say it's bullshit. I think it's
it's just a belief system almost, and it, it's not what you live by.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm definitely a universe person, like when some terrible shit happens, I'm like, there's something grander for this. Like, there's something is going to come out of this. Because if you don't think that way, then things just really suck, I feel like.
Yeah.
You got to have some belief in it.
So when was this whole yellow theme birthed?
The yellow theme was birthed. I had a period where I couldn't speak for like 4 months, and I had this surgery on my throat.
Oh my God, really?
I woke up out of it, and I was like, yo, yellow gives me hope, makes me feel like there's a better time ahead, and I have never done a color theme for an album, and it just feels right. So
oh, so this is for the albums. Do you think?
Oh, it's nonstop.
Albums to come would be like a different color, like purple.
Perhaps a purple. I know purple is your color, so let's go.
Yeah, yeah.
I just dropped this other record called Acid Dreams, and I'm wearing it's like purple on yellow, so it's a purple suit on a yellow background.
LA
so
Lakers.
Let's go.
This is you right here.
There you go.
See, she does know sports.
Oh, she does.
No, it's just the one.
So you weren't able to talk for 4 months?
Yeah, it was wild, man. I learned some sign language with my wife, which was cool. And, you know, we have a little secret language, which was cool.
So not only couldn't you not sing, like legit, you could not talk.
So there were 2 months where I had a whole tour when I found out that I was going to get this surgery. So I only used my voice for the shows. And then otherwise I didn't speak at all. So it was almost like this strange, like I was in a jail in my mind for this voice thing. And then I would let out for like Singing Monkey, like perform. And then I'm back in the jail, you know? And it was crazy because I then had 2 months where I legitimately couldn't make a sound. And that was, I prepped for it, I guess, but it was intense. But a lot of singers go through it. I have to thank, you know, Meghan Trainor and Christina Perry and all these singers who have gone through the same thing. And they gave me all the tips. They're like, get this app big, get this thing for your voice. Like, we're vocal athletes. It's just like a basketball player, you know, getting an injury. It happens and people know how to get over it.
So on a very basic level, if someone, you always hear when somebody has like a sore throat or they lose your voice, what do you do? You've been through it where you couldn't even talk, you had a major surgery. Like if you just have like a sore throat or you can't talk for a minute, what's the remedy? Because we always hear weird things in radio and we lose our voice. People are like, try this.
Yeah, when I came back from Vegas, I didn't have a voice and I made like myself like this disgusting cocktail.
I got a lot of things. Raw ginger, that's an easy one. It looks kind of like a strange root that looks like a lot of penises, and you just cut it up and you put that in your hot water and your tea. That's a great one. There's this thing, it's like a portable humidifier. Use that. I have it with me, and it's just like, just use that every day. And then rest, honestly. It's like, it's just, you just have to be able to not use it. It's just, you know, if you work out for like 2 hours, you're probably not going to go and work out for another hour.
Oh,
you have to rest it. Yeah.
So Jägermeister's not a thing.
Not so much Jägermeister, probably.
I thought it was.
You know, live your best life if that's what you want to do.
Can we play one quick game before you go?
This
is B96 Trash Talk. Ooh. Reach in, grab a question. These are listeners submitted questions. We did not write these. These are from listeners.
All right.
And it's out of a garbage can. Just grab a question.
And boom. I got it.
Thank you for digging deep because everyone
just grabs right off the top. The
question is, what is the worst text you've accidentally sent to the wrong person? That's a good one. The worst text I've sent, probably the one where I learned from it, but I was definitely talking someone pretty intensely. Like being like, yo, I can't stand this guy, whatever else. And then I sent it to him, of course, on a group text with the other person I meant to send it to.
Oh my God.
So that's why, obviously, it went. And it made me realize, you know what? If you don't have anything nice to say, maybe don't talk, especially on text that can be sent to someone else. That feels like the move. So sometimes you got to learn from bad experiences. But that guy is not my friend anymore. So.
Whoops.
Probably not.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Always great to catch up, man.
Great to hang, guys. Thanks for all the love.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Max.
Yeah, baby.
Spanky's Corner.
A podcast.
Alec Benjamin.
Hey.
We're looking at the camera, right?
Or am I? No, we can look at us or whatever.
You just talk.
Okay. We're having some. By the way, as long as we're talking about the camera, you have your name on your shirt, which is a bold power move right there.
That is a power play.
Well, it's not so much a power play so much as I need to buy new clothes, and the only clothes I have are merch that's left over from tour. So it's kind of the opposite of a power play.
So if people come out to Lala, they can buy that hoodie.
Oh, they can't, actually. This is like one of the last ones left over from tour, but they can buy it online if they want. Yeah, we don't have merch here.
That's also
We might have merch here, actually. Never mind. We had some last night because I played a show last night at Shuba's, and just like an after show or whatever. I suppose it's a pre-show because it was at midnight, so it was in the morning before our set, but they called it after show. I don't know.
That's also like a good way to walk through crowds and like not get mobbed, because they'll be like, wow, that fan looks just like him.
Well, I don't know. Maybe. Sure.
You're in the middle of like, how many shows are you playing this weekend? 17? 20?
No, well, we're playing, so I'm going to play one after this, and then we go to Canada for Oceaga, and I'm playing probably a couple there, so like five or six. But it's actually cool when people come up to me and talk about like, oh, like your music affected me in some way or whatever. That's always like really exciting, so I'm never trying to avoid those.
That's good.
Yeah.
Have you heard any like really good stories from people like, your music did this for me, or?
I mean, I think they're all good in their own way. Everybody is affected differently by music. Some people don't like my music, which is like, if I don't even mind that, because if they're like, if it had an effect on them and it compelled them to let me know how much they didn't like it, at least it wasn't like,
at least
I'd rather
effective.
Be on one side of the spectrum or the other, not like in the like, eh, yeah, you know? So you love it or hate it, hopefully, is where I want.
Well, and every realm of entertainment is subjective. You know what I mean? Like, everybody likes and doesn't like whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I like your hair.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
She blends in with our surroundings.
Right.
I didn't just dye it for this weekend.
So if you get scared, you could just like
just melt
in. Yeah.
So I saw your Instagram story that this is like one of the coolest things that you've gotten to do.
Yes,
it was one
is.
Of the set you just did.
Yeah.
So tell us about that. How was it?
Well, The crowd was incredible. Chicago is one of the most amazing cities I've ever been to. Like, it's so cool to be like right by the water. And also, I don't know, it was amazing. It was really cool. Like, people know the music and they were singing the words, and it was just a great crowd. I think a majority of the show, it's funny, I feel like just, it was one of the best crowds I've ever played to. It was awesome. It was like, it's a dream come true. Everybody dreams of like one day being on the lineup for Lollapalooza, you know? So yeah. Getting to do a set was awesome.
Where yeah. are you from?
I'm from Arizona.
Okay, so I was going to say, what was like your music festival growing up?
Well, I didn't go to a lot of music festivals because I think like also at that time, like the artists that I was listening to didn't really, I feel like festivals are now more open to sort of more pop music.
Yeah.
But I listened to a lot of singer-songwriters like John Mayer and stuff. So they weren't really like, they were playing like Monterey Jazz Festival and stuff, but they weren't really booked on the lineups at like your pop festivals or like whatever music it was. But I went to some rock festivals. I guess like there's a radio station in Arizona called The Edge. I went to Edge Fest a bunch of times. I used to really be into heavy metal. Yeah, that's it. But even then, I think everybody always, like Lollapalooza is like a festival for every state. Everybody talks about it. I mean, everyone, when the lineup comes out, you know, people across America and the world are talking about it. So.
And the lineup's so broad. Yeah. I mean, there's rock, there's pop, there's electronic. There's
parents wouldn't send me to Chicago to go to the festival, otherwise I might have. But
no, we talk about it because occasionally with Lolla, you see like there's always that one or two, those one or two people on the internet that say, well, this year's lineup sucks.
Every year.
So it's like if you can't find five or six people you like out of 170, maybe the problem isn't Lolla. Right. Maybe the problem's you.
There's
internet
so
poster.
Many. It's so many different acts playing, and it's such like a it's such an eclectic mix of music. So there's something for everybody, which is really cool. Like right before we went on, there was I think it was a DJ duo or something, but they were playing like a lot of hip hop music, and I was like, well, I don't know how this is gonna work when I go out on stage after them, but it worked. Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because I mean, even you as an artist probably get to discover other artists.
Oh yeah.
Has Definitely. There been anybody that you've seen so far this weekend where you're like, whoa?
Yeah.
There has not been because I actually got in yesterday and then I went straight to the venue to soundcheck. And then I played like sort of early today, so we haven't seen anyone yet. But there's going to be artists that I've always wanted to see that I'm going to see. And at the festivals I played like over the last few weeks, I discovered a lot of new music. So
who are those artists that you're so excited to see? I know you said Death Cab.
I love Death Cab for Cutie. I really like Pink Sweats.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's super cool. I like Jeremy Zucker's music. And there's a lot of different people that I'm excited to see. I wish I could stay for Ariana. I like her music,
know.
Too.
I am so excited for her. Yeah.
Do you know Jeremy?
I do, yeah.
He was here yesterday.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Awesome. I love his music.
Cool dude. So you mentioned singer-songwriters that you've looked up to. Have you ever gotten to work with any of them yet?
I got to work with John Mayer. Well, I didn't work with John Mayer, but I went to his house, and I was on his Instagram live show, which was really cool. Yeah, I was on Current Mood, which was really dope. Billie Eilish did a cover of one of my songs on her Instagram, which was really cool. She posted it. And then I woke up in the morning, I had like 50,000 new followers, and I was like, wait, what happened last night?
Did something weird.
What did I do?
And I've worked in the studio with Khalid a few times as well, which has been really dope. But, you know, I think the hardest thing about, like, touring and playing festivals is also, like, still making sure that you're finding time to write music and also just, like, live so that you have things to write about.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I've had a little bit of writer's block in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But I think maybe this will be good inspiration.
How often does that pop up with the writer's block? Is it just kind of like an athlete having a slump? Is that
Well,
kind of
I think it depends on, like, what the cause of the block was. And I think sometimes for me it's not having gotten out and played shows. Because you're writing all this music and you're sitting and you're writing and you're writing and writing, and maybe you see your old songs are racking up plays or whatever, but it's hard to actually, like, when you see a stream or a sale or whatever it is, a radio spin, like, it's hard to imagine that there are people behind those. And so then you kind of get in this place like, why am I even doing this? And then you come out and you have two great shows and you're like, oh, that's why.
And then you're like, I want to feed you more of my chickens.
Yeah, no, but that's actually exactly what it is. You have to do all fronts, and it's really important to get out in front of a crowd and like see how the songs, because the song's not really like alive until you play it on stage, you know, for people. So
yeah, definitely.
Alec, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it so much. Making the stop.
Thanks.
And thanks for peddling your merch, bud.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, go get it on your website.
Thanks a lot. Spanky's
Corner. A podcast.
Scary pool party.
Hey.
What's up, Mr. Pool Party?
Nothing much, just chilling at Lollapalooza.
I know you've probably been asked this a million times, but I've never personally asked you this. So where did the name come about?
So the name came about, I needed a name for a show that I was playing. And the day before the show, I was at a party. And my friend's like, hey, I need a name. Texted me, and I was like, I'm like, I don't really want to go by my name, Alejandro, because I felt like that's like super pretentious. So I was like, being serious, I was like, nah, like I don't want to go by my name. So I was at a party, and I was like, a scary pool party. So
like it, though. It sticks. It's different.
Yeah.
As you've been out talking to people, how many times you've been asked that question?
Every time.
Every time?
Well, it's fun. You walked yourself into that.
Yeah, I did. I did.
No, I literally saw you on the lineup for this. We were sitting in studio, I think, a couple weeks ago, and I was like, scary pool party. I want to know about the name, and I started Googling, and then I like fell in a rabbit hole watching your videos.
Awesome. When do you go on, or have you gone on?
No, play tonight, Park West, at 12, midnight.
Oh, that's a fun stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially at midnight.
Yeah, then tomorrow we play 12:45. I mean, 3:45, sorry.
Oh, cool.
You're in a different time zone,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I'm like all over the place. Yeah.
Where are you from?
I'm from California.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Sold out tour, or at least I know, well, at least the Chicago show I know is sold out in October, so
yeah,
you're
man,
coming
that's
back.
Great.
It's insane. Like, a lot of the shows are sold out, which is mind-boggling.
How many festivals have you been doing this summer? Have you been just constantly doing them, or is this your only one?
No, this is my first like leg of them. Yeah, it's my first actual festival that I'm playing with my own music, which is absolutely
ever?
Insane. Yeah, ever as an artist. Last year, 2018, I was playing with a band called Twin Shadow. We did a bunch of festivals, but we didn't play Lollapalooza, but we did like Austin City Limits, just a bunch. Yeah, it was great.
But now that you're on your own, I mean, that's got to be a whole different thing, right? Like, you're just out there kind of on your own, up on stage. It's, I mean, is that scary? To me, that would be scary.
Oh, it definitely is scary. But I think with any, you know, any person that's like trying to play music, especially for myself, I think you need that push, especially for me. Like, I know when I'm scared or if I'm like nervous, it like pushes me to do something else that I'm not used to. And I just work in that direction, then it's going to, you know, hopefully it turns out good. So,
well, and festivals are so cool. I think it's such an organic way to get fans. You know what I mean? Because it's like they hear you and then they're like, I liked them so much. I'm now invested and want to listen to everything he's done. So,
yeah, I agree. I mean, going to shows in general. Like, I mean, I grew up going to punk shows, hardcore shows, any show I can think of. And so watching bands and gaining a fan base that way is like the best way you can do it.
Yeah.
The music, we can pretty much get it anywhere right now, right? Wherever you get your music, you can
just
pick it up, stream it, listen to it, download it, purchase it would be good. That would be a nice touch.
Push
that.
That'd be great. Yeah.
We've got this thing. This is the B96 Trash Talk.
Cool.
So these are listener submitted questions. They're all very generic.
Generically weird.
Dope.
We proofread
some of them.
Some of them. You want to grab one out of there? You want to play along?
Sure.
If you don't want to, we completely understand.
Want.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's do a different one.
Yeah, you can pass on whatever.
Let's see. The nice thing about these questions is if they suck, we can blame the audience, which is so nice for us.
Yeah.
This question is, who do you want to marry out of the Lollapalooza lineup? Probably 21 Savage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Marry his ass.
sick. He's tonight, man, right?
He's
playing
dope.
Tonight?
Yeah.
Are you going to be able to watch that?
Hopefully. I mean, he's after Idols. They're playing right now.
Okay.
He's after them, I think.
Anybody else you're going to watch?
I don't even really know the lineup, but I'm going to be probably going to be staying here watching as many bands as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be dope.
Thank you for coming by.
Of course. Thanks
for
having me.
Yeah,
Scary
for
pool
sure.
party at Lollapalooza tonight. Because this will be out before you go on. So if you're coming to Lollapalooza, then... Yeah, tonight.
If you love him, but you haven't bought tickets to his show, sorry about it.
Yeah, you're done late.
You snooze, you lose.
You snooze. Thanks, man.
Be a good human being and subscribe, rate, review the mess you just heard. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.